Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Rolling into the final hour of our broadcast wake. Got Seahawks football coming up Sunday. 1:25 kickoff. I'll be on the air with all my pregame co-hosts at 10 a.m. for the Seahawks and the mighty Los Angeles Rams. Thanks to Pete Carroll for being with us the last half hour. Man, I tell you, it's been an interesting day. Susan Collins with a speech for the ages as she point by point by point every single item that they tried to destroy Kavanaugh with, every single issue that he could rule upon. Susan Collins gave a devastating takedown of the resistors. And Susan Collins said, so tomorrow he will have my vote.
Despite the turbulent, bitter fights surrounding his nomination, my fervent hope is that Brett Kavanaugh will work to lessen the divisions in the Supreme Court so that we have far fewer 5-4 decisions, and so that public confidence in our judiciary and our highest court is restored. Mr. President, I will vote to confirm Judge Kavanaugh.
And then Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, after this FBI summary report was released to the senators, where there was no corroborating evidence of any sexual assaults. The accusers, like Kristen Ford, she said there were three people present when Brett Kavanaugh sexually assaulted me. And the FBI talked to all three people she named, and none of them had any memory of the incident. One of them had no clue who Brett Kavanaugh was back then. And so Joe Manchin, after that FBI report, he said this Democrat will vote for his confirmation as well.
I have empathy and sympathy, and I'll do anything I can to make sure that they are heard, to make sure this doesn't continue.
You think this was an adequate FBI investigation into
those paid protesters? So funny. And President Trump tweeted this morning that the protesters who've been screaming in all the elevators as the senators have been trying to get about, they were outside Jeff Flake's office this morning. He also says he's going to vote yes. He was a third who was on the fence. So Donald Trump this morning sent out a tweet and said, you know, these protesters were paid, are being paid by George Soros. And one of the protesters, this is awesome, one of the protesters went on MSNBC this morning and, you know, they asked her, you're not getting paid, are you?
Are you a paid professional? I work for a community organization. I work for a network of community organizations.
Okay, so then this backfired so beautifully on MSNBC. So then they said, well, but Trump says it's Soros. It's not Soros, is it?
This morning, there were some articles, some news pieces on Fox, elsewhere, places we know he watches, talking about you, talking about this moment, saying in both of these instances, they were seemingly organic, powerful protests, but in both instances, the women involved came from a nonprofit called Center for Popular Democracy that has received funding from liberal billionaire George Soros. Records show they mention you, Ana Maria Archila, who confronted Flake, is the group's co-executive director. Perhaps that is where the president is trying to draw this link.
I like that. The MSNBC host. Perhaps that's where the president is getting this nonsense.
President wants to know whether I work for a social justice organization. The answer is yes. And I've worked for a social justice organization since I was 23. That's not new.
I love that moment. That's like the most underreported moment of the day today. Because the New York Times said, oh, since Soros is Jewish, that's an anti-Semitic dog whistle by Trump. to suggest that Soros is paying these protesters. Obviously, they're just all women who wanted to have their voices heard. No, Soros was paying them. And the MSNBC host thought she was going to, we're going to shoot down Trump right here and now. And all it did was it confirmed what Trump said. That was a beautiful moment today. Next up, well, let's just get started. That was all bonus material, wasn't it? Yeah, let's get into the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
So another thing that happened was Donald Trump, who is continuing to, you know, we don't know how this whole Kavanaugh thing, who it's going to energize more for midterms, the right or the left. We don't know. That story will be told in the next month or so. But the president, he is tireless, man. He's having rallies almost every night, flying around the country to support Republican candidates, trying to make sure that they don't lose the Senate, trying to make it so they don't lose the House. But one of the things that Donald Trump said at a rally in Minnesota last night, it made me think of the Puget Sound region. It made me really focus on what is happening all around our area. And this is what the president said last night in Minnesota, and I'll tell you how it relates to your home.
And I've said it, and I'll say it as many times as you want to hear it, and it's because of their policy that Democrats are truly the party of crime, because that's what happens. Open borders, that's what happens.
Democrats are the party of crime. Open borders, that's what happens. I've got a stack of stories in my hand from the Puget Sound area today. Today, where there is basically one-party rule throughout our region. It's Democrats are in charge. And we've all seen what's been happening, the slow degradation of Seattle and all of the surrounding cities and counties. We're seeing how homelessness, drug policies, sanctuary policies have made this one of the most crime-riddled major cities in the United States. When it comes to property crime, Seattle is number one in the United States among the top 20 cities. And so the Democrats who are in charge here, are they the party of crime? Let's take a look here. Belltown. Dateline, downtown Seattle. Belltown, where there have been national documentaries about the open drug markets in Belltown. A 32-year-old man was fatally shot this morning in Belltown, according to Seattle police. Police and medics were sent to the scene. They tried to save the victim. He was shot multiple times, but he died at the scene. As of now, no suspects have been found. So that's this morning here in Seattle. But it goes on and on. Q13 Fox had a story about a jogger, 16-year-old girl in Tukwila. And a man tried to grab her. She screamed. She fought. She scratched him. He pulled her into a dark-colored SUV. But they had a good description of the guy. They got a police drawing. They were able to find the suspect. Q13 News, David Rose, he had that story.
King County in a frightening kidnapping case, a man who they say attacked a 16-year-old jogger last summer. In August, deputies released a sketch of the suspect, Kevin Perkins. Investigators say he grabbed that teen as she was jogging near South 272nd in the Star Lake neighborhood. They say he pushed her into an SUV, but she fought back, kicking and scratching him, and was able to get away. Detectives say they used DNA evidence they found on his clothing that was left behind to link Perkins to the crime.
A 16-year-old girl doing about the healthiest thing you can do. But how many stories like this have we had? We talked earlier this week to Maria Ball, who was grabbed and groped on a training run for the New York City Marathon between Green Lake and Ravenna a few days ago. We talked with Kelly Heron, who's brutally, sexually, in attempted rape. She fucked the guy off in the Golden Gardens bathroom. I talked to Kelly on Wednesday this week. And all of the stories are the same. These are, in most of these cases, homeless drug addicts who have come to our region from other parts of the country. A woman brutally raped in a car dealership bathroom. Homeless drug addict from another part of the country committed that brutal rape. These are the policies and the results of the policies of the people in charge in our region.
And I've said it, and I'll say it as many times as you want to hear it. And it's because of their policy that Democrats are truly the party of crime. Because that's what happens. Open borders, that's what happens.
Let's go out to Monroe. Another story that I have for you this afternoon. Police in Monroe are investigating a alleged sexual assault at Al Borland Park. This happened on Wednesday. A 47-year-old woman at the hospital being examined following a sexual assault. She told police it happened between 9 and 10 in the morning at this park in Monroe. It's the suspect's described as a white man in his mid-30s, 5'8", 5'9". They say that they believe he's homeless. I've heard from several listeners who have told me about the homeless encampments in the woods adjacent to these parks. Police Sergeant in Monroe, Ryan Irving, he talked to Q13 News.
The victim was actually walking along the trail to a place that the victim frequents weekly. And just enjoying the sights.
And he said the attacker was just brazen.
I would consider it someone brazen because there's a lot of people that go in and out of the park, that either whether that's for leisure, lunchtime hours, and it was on one of the main trails in the park along the river.
47-year-old woman going for a walk in the park on a Wednesday morning. But a suspected homeless person, which means almost certainly a drug addict, sexually assaulted her. Let's go up to Edmonds in Linwood. They've been trying for weeks to find a man who was caught on grocery store security cameras groping little girls, including a 9-year-old in Edmonds. Well, they think they found the guy living in North Bend. They've arrested a 50-year-old sex offender. They've been looking for him for more than 2 weeks. It happened at a supermarket on Highway 99, and then they believe the same guy did it at a supermarket in Linwood a couple of weeks ago. The neighbor to that alleged groper, Isaac Waddell, talked to Q13 News.
Sitting right there, apparently. I mean, what's that, 150 feet, 300 feet from my house? My front door with my kid and his friends and my neighbor.
And one of the questions, this is a Level 1 registered sex offender, and everybody wants to know, how is this guy on the loose for 2 weeks? They had great video of him, great description of him.
But just like most felonies follow any criminal, right? How come these ones kind of fell through the cracks?
Well, because we've had so many of them. We have so many in our region. Tell you what, between our legalization of drugs and our sanctuary laws and everything else, we have too many criminals running around. That's why I've got a fistful of crime stories in our region today.
The reality is a lot of us weren't going to sleep really well until we knew we had this person in custody. And so that's what we did.
So that's the Edmonds police sergeant. He talked to Cairo 7 News. And Cairo 7 reporter Allison Grand, he talked to the police sergeant and said, why did this take so long to find this guy when you had a great picture of him, great video? He's a registered level 1. Why did it take weeks to find him?
Can you help us understand why it took more than 2 weeks to identify him?
The detectives, especially our special assault detective, you know, she's got a really difficult job because that's the million-dollar question. Like, well, he's already done this before. Why did it take so long? Well, generally, you're going to start looking in your immediate community and the sex offenders in your immediate area. And then when you have video footage, you're going to expect that somebody's going to recognize this guy from the immediate area. Well, North Bend's not the immediate area for us.
Yeah, so the alleged groping happened in Edmonds and Linwood, but the guy they've suspected is out in North Bend.
It took a lot of patience because we weren't getting that, oh, it's the guy from three blocks away. It was somebody from outside the area that he doesn't have a lot of local ties here.
And so when you see all of these stories and you see what's happening all around our region, Snohomish and King County prosecutors have legalized personal possession amounts of heroin and meth. We've got drug addicts from all around the country coming here, sexually assaulting, attempting assaults, violent, brutal rapes of women who are out for runs or just getting their car serviced. Maybe there's something to it, Mr. President.
And I've said it, and I'll say it as many times as you want to hear it. And it's because of their policy that Democrats are truly the party of crime.
Well, they're the one party that's in control throughout our region. And the scope and staggering number of stories certainly suggests that maybe we should try things a little bit different. But as long as they promise to take that guy's stuff and give it to you, they'll keep getting voted in. Because that's all that matters around here. Our homes are getting broken into. Ah, big deal. Kids are getting raped. Ah, big deal. Kids are getting groped. Women violently raped. I don't know. But will you take that guy's stuff and give it to me? Because I'll keep voting for your party if you do that. And what a party it is. And then Channel 4, ComoNews.com. They had a story about the RV shuffle. How whenever they tow an RV, there are people who buy them for as little as 10 bucks and then rent them out to the homeless drug addicts. Channel 4, Como News has it.
She couldn't afford the impound fees, so her RV went to auction, which the city allows. And to her surprise,
somebody bought it for the auction for $10. And I've actually seen it parked around here. It's kind of sucks.
That's a homeless woman named Natalie who lost her RV to towing and then found it back on the street because, as Como described, they have this RV slumlord.
They just rented it for a month.
Him is a man well known to police, called an RV slumlord by some, who would not respond to our attempts to reach him, who buys RVs at auction, renting them for more than he paid.
People want off the street so bad that they're willing to rent the RV when they're not realizing that the RV that they're renting costs about as much as, you know, I mean, per month as it did to buy the damn thing.
This is preying on the folks that have nothing, putting them in unsanitary and unsafe environments.
But this is a condition that our city council has caused, has supported, has advocated for. And all of that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Check the news for you, then our favorite sound bites of the week coming up next. I hope nobody's watching the webcam right
that's
now.
That's quite the dance you got going on. It looks like you're getting ready to go up the stairs, Rocky.
Now, it more looks like he has to pee.
Or that.
All I know is I'm feeling the heat of the music beat.
Wow.
I know.
Is this real life or a dream?
Whatever you want it to be, Sean. I can be your reality. I can be your fantasy. I can be whatever you need me to be.
Yes.
Ew, that's the creepiest yes I've ever heard my entire life.
Well, it follows one of the creepiest sentences I've ever heard from a grown man to another grown man.
Oh, man. Well, I suppose with that as mere prelude, we should get into our favorite sound bites of the entire week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Week.
Okay, let's see if I have time for a bonus. Awesome audio before I get to the top three. This was Grandma Penelope Pedersen, and she was looking for her cat. And when she looked out the front window, she saw a naked burglar out there.
I always look first. I open the blinds. I say, oh, hell, that's not my cat.
No, it's a naked dude. And so she, for the TV camera, and it's not very relevant for you and me. I wish you could see it. But she took out her dentures and she replicated on TV the...
Well, she didn't have them. Yeah. So she put her arms up into a two claws.
Yeah, claws, and she showed them the face that she made for the naked guy.
Grandma, no teeth.
That was it. What did she say? Grandma, no teeth?
Grandma, no teeth.
Grandma, no teeth, but she was never scared.
He was just a dumbass.
Yeah. Okay, that's all bonus material for you there. Now to our top three. Out on Lake City, we told you a few weeks ago, we talked to a business owner. They have these big concrete planters, and the homeless drug addicts were using these planters, which were supposed to have trees and flowers. The homeless drug addicts were using the planters. They were pooping and piddling and sleeping in them. Even dogs don't go to the bathroom where they sleep. That's why crate training is so effective for dogs. They won't go to the bathroom in the crate. But we've got people on the streets, and this is where, I mean, it's a very serious issue. They talked to two of the homeless people, Dennis and Kimmy, and we got to get people like this help. We can't just leave them on the streets. Dennis first, but then Kimmy explained to Channel 4, ComoNews.com, why they were tearing out all these planter boxes.
Number three.
You know why they're removing the trees on the planter?
Yeah, because we've been sitting there. We've been camping out there.
Do you have any idea why they're moving you?
I know something about Bush presidency, about Iraqi war in Libya.
The Bush presidency, Iraqi war in Libya. That's why they're tearing out planters that people are pooping in Lake City. Now, when New York City had a horrible homeless crisis 20 or so years ago, Giuliani, he went and scooped up people and he got the mental health care that they needed. Well, here in our state, Western State has lost its accreditation because of abject neglect by the governor and by the legislature. So we don't even have a functional. And there's a story today about how patients are attacking staff at Western State. We can't give people like this help even. Okay, number two in our awesome audio, the story of a veteran who had a garage sale. He's got cancer, and he was afraid he wasn't going to be able to have the funeral and buy the burial plot with his family that he wanted. So he had a garage sale, and this guy, David Dunkelberger, stopped by the garage sale.
Number two.
At the end, when we bought a few things, he said to me, if you know anybody else interested, I'm trying to sell all my stuff to pay for a funeral. And when I said, whose funeral? He said, mine.
And Dunkelberger and his buddy Ed Sheets, they said, well, we want
to
help.
It broke your heart hearing the story, and we just decided we had to do something to try and help him, try and make his life a little bit easier. He's done a lot, you know, serving our country, so we wanted to kind of return the favor to him so that, again, his last days could be a little less hectic, a little more peaceful for him.
And the vet with the cancer, he's got that spot picked out.
His parents have a burial spot in Culpeper, Virginia, and there's a spot for him, obviously. But with that, it's going to come some financial, you know, obstacles.
And at number one in Awesome Audio, 13-year-old Preston Sharp, he's traveling the country to put flags at the graves of veterans.
Number one.
A burial spot in Culpeper, Virginia, and there's a spot for him.
Let me go to Preston. Hit the wrong one. Here we go, Preston.
I'm just trying to give back to all the veterans. You know, they worked so hard. They went through so much training. And I'm just trying to give some of that back.
13-year-old traveling the country. Favorite sound bites of the week. All brought to you by our friends at Brown Bear Car Wash. Today's sign. A very special today's sign next. We come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week, what a week, what a week, and what a day. This was a pretty amazing and historic day, as you were listening in our noon hour, took pretty much the entire hour. Maine Senator Susan Collins with an absolutely devastating point-by-point reasoning for her support and her yes vote for Brett Kavanaugh. And I'm not happy that Kavanaugh is going to get seated on the Supreme Court tomorrow for political reasons. I'm happy because I said this right off the bat, that this appeared to me from the very get-go to be the attempted personal destruction of a man with one of the most vile accusations that can be launched against a man, that you are a sexual offender. In the case of the Avenatti client, a gang rapist. It was disgusting. It was nauseating. The politics of it, the social policy of all of that, I've told you a million times. I try my best to not let my personal happiness rise and fall with events beyond my control. And I feel bad for the people where the politics of hatred have become their reason for being. They are sitting on Twitter and on Instagram and everywhere, Facebook, sending out furious messages how much they hate that orange president. And, oh, man, the hatred for Kavanaugh, whose only sin was he was nominated by Trump, whose one of his sins is that he beat Hillary Clinton. He probably has a few others, but that's one of Trump's sins, is that he beat Hillary. And if you got a spouse and kids that you love and who love you, don't let things beyond your control control your happiness. Control what you can control. But there are just people who are getting completely consumed with hatred these days. And look, I'm gonna try to be a bigger man about it, because those are the people who've been just flaming me for 20 plus years. But I don't take any happiness in your misery, in your hatred. I really don't. But man, the fact that there are so many people who allow events beyond their control to control their life. So now, almost certainly tomorrow, Brett Kavanaugh will be the newest Associate Justice on the United States Supreme Court. But it's going to be interesting. You know, we're going to see and hear protests tonight. I'll talk about that a little more in a couple of moments here. But first, I got a couple of other stories in today's edition of
Today's Sign that the End is near.
I tell you what, I am so glad that so many people have these front porch cameras, the doorbell cameras. Here in Seattle, I think it was Wallingford neighborhood, a family has video of a young man. He looks like he's in his 20s. He, right after UPS dropped off a package, he walked up on the porch, stole it, walked away. They got a really good picture of him. And so it's all over Reddit. The response has been tremendous. The family has printed and posted flyers on telephone poles with a good shot of the young man thief. Almost undoubtedly, he was so close to the delivery of the package that he was probably just following the UPS truck. And as soon as they make a delivery, he would just stop and go and steal the package. It's really disgusting. Oh, and this young man, by the way, he was wearing a baseball cap that had two words on it: do good. That's ironic, because you see, he was doing something bad at the time. That's like Ray Yane on your wedding day. So hopefully they'll catch that guy, these package thieves. Today's signed story number two. How about the couple in Utah? Huge Utah Utes fans. But they couldn't afford the football season tickets. So a family member said, I'll buy you season tickets. Pay me back when you can. And so Ben and Jackie Belknap, they just were saving and saving and saving. They got a little two-year-old. They don't have much money. And they said, whenever we have an extra 10 or 20 bucks, we'll just put it in this envelope. And when we save up the $1,000 that our family member loaned us for the tickets, we'll pay them back. But the money, well, they set it aside for that specific purpose.
I am putting this in an envelope. I am labeling it Utah Utes, $1,060. And I'm going to put it right here so we don't forget it to take it up.
But then they discovered their cash envelope was missing.
I'm out digging through the trash, and she hollers and says, I found it. She's holding the shredder, and she says, I think the money is in here. We started laughing. We were just baffled that this could happen. And
I
just
cried for a minute. You can't say we just laughed.
A few tears and then a bunch of laughs. So,
I like their attitude. That's good. But apparently their two-year-old son, Leo, put the cash-filled envelope in the paper shredder, and she found all of the shredded cash. But there is an office, treasury office, where you can send stuff like that to try to get whole.
He said, bag it up, little Ziploc bags, mail it to D.C., in between 1 and 2 years, you'll get your money back.
It sounds like typical government efficiency. As for 2-year-old Leo, is he mortified by what he did?
You did that.
Whoa.
You shredded all that money.
I like these parents. They sound, that's a happy family there. I bet they don't let outside things affect their happiness. Okay, and so here's what's coming up. By the way, on Sunday morning, Seahawks football. Game kicks off at 1:25 Sunday afternoon, so I'll be on the air at 10 a.m. with Paul Moyer, Ray Roberts, Jordan Babineau, and Michael Bumpus, and we will count you down to kickoff between the Seahawks and the Los Angeles Rams. So hope you can spend your Sunday morning with us. Of course, between now and then, there's going to be that Brett Kavanaugh final vote tomorrow, and there are protest cams already up all around Washington, D.C., and at the Senate office building. They are predicting the possibility of violence as those on the left just are not able to accept that Donald Trump's president and that the president gets to nominate justices. And there was zero corroborating evidence against Brett Kavanaugh in the FBI report. And if you didn't hear Susan Collins' speech between noon and one today, listen to our podcast. But if there is that violence that they're predicting, and I hope there isn't, I think the vote should be, I think it should be like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, if the Democrats had any sense. And they should vote 96-3 to confirm this man and to send a message to the country that, look, we need unifying and it's going to begin with us. Our colleague made a brilliant takedown of all opposition to Kavanaugh, and we're going to start the healing right now with a 96-3 vote. It's like a fantasy land. But the Republicans voted for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the former ACLU lawyer, and the Democrats should vote for Kavanaugh, but they won't because they're part of the resistance, and they want to just keep people fired up. They want today, Friday, October 5th, the day before the Supreme Court vote, they want tonight to be the eve of destruction. Right, Dickies? That's not the case. But sadly, there are just so many people in our country today where political rage fills this gigantic void in their lives. So I don't know what's going to happen. I hope that everybody who listened to Susan Collins' speech and realizes that there's really no reasonable opposition to what she said, I hope that they can, between now and tomorrow's vote, come to peace with where we are. But like I said, too big void in too many people's lives. We'll see you Sunday morning for Seahawks football, and we'll chronicle all that happens this weekend when we reconvene Monday, high noon. Ron and Don coming up next. Have a fantastic weekend, and we'll see you back here Monday. Hello.
He's just a dumbass.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.